Now, on our YouTube channel, there's a hot video about ripping copy-protected DVDs. How many people still use a DVD player? This week, we are going to be readdressing that because there are a few questions that frequently come in on that YouTube video. Mm-hmm. Things around, essentially, episodic DVD rips.
Okay.
Now, when you rip a DVD, if it's a movie, it's pretty easy. It's pretty straightforward because it's one video and you're ripping it and encoding it and decoding it and everything else. But it's one video. Now, when you get a DVD set of your favorite shows, it is a little more challenging because typically each disc has multiple episodes on it.
Right.
So there is an added challenge to that. So tonight we're going to look at software that we have looked at before, but we're going to take a little bit of a different approach because we are going to be using an episodic DVD set in order to do our rips.
Okay, then.
All right. The process, just so you know, if you are interested only in ripping movies and not episodic DVDs, the process is the same. Okay. If you master this, you will absolutely master the ability to rip movies as well, because as I say, it's just one video on the disc, typically.
Would the same process for an episodic TV show work the same as, say, like a DVD that's got special content,
you know,
interviews and stuff?
Absolutely. Okay. Those are other videos on the discs.
Yeah.
So, quickly, because I know one of the comments on YouTube is, I talk too much. And so I want to just quickly mention that one of the reasons I would want to do this, and one of the reasons I want to do this, has nothing to do with the technology, but it has to do with the fact that I watch a lot of British shows.
Right.
So they come to me, when I order them off of Amazon.co.uk, they come to me region-coded to the UK, so they don't play in a local Canadian DVD player.
Right.
So I have to rip it in order to be able to watch it on my TV, because it's region-coded. Okay?
That makes sense.
See, and for me, I like this because I have a ton of DVDs, but we're looking at getting a new sound system that they don't have DVD players anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
And all of our TVs are connected to Plex. So I want to be able to watch stuff.
Exactly. You may have a Blu-ray player, which plays DVDs as well, but a lot of us have multimedia centers. And that's the other comment that comes in on our YouTube channel is, well, why would I want to rip things to a computer so that I can watch them on my laptop? No. These files can be watched on smart TVs, on set-top boxes, I have a computer in my cellar that has an HDMI cable coming out of it to the back of a 55-inch TV, and that's our system. So that's how we watch our TV from Plex. So I put them on my Plex media server, and then we watch the shows up on our big screen TV. So this is not just so you can watch it in a portable means of taking it with you on a laptop, though that is one good use case too. If your kids are going away to school and they have a bunch of DVDs, they might not be able to take them all with them, but you can rip them to their hard drive, and then all of a sudden they've got their entire library and are able to take that to school with them, just as an example. For the record, we're not breaking any laws here tonight.
No.
We own the DVDs that we are ripping. This is about making your content that you already own more accessible on your devices.
Yep.
Perfect.
I don't own a DVD player. I think I own a DVD player, but I think it's somewhere in the garage. It's not connected to any of my devices, especially with the advent of flat-screen TVs. I no longer have a cabinet with DVD players and VCRs and things, and I don't want to have it sitting on the floor below the TV that's mounted on the wall. So it's just a different world, but I own the content. And in fact, this is a show that I bought for my wife, but technically for my wife and I, to enjoy together. Inspector Lewis, it's a great murder mystery show, if you haven't seen it, from PBS. And it is, what, 9 seasons on 18 discs. 18 DVDs.
That's crazy.
Right? So this is something that I want to be on my Plex media server because I don't have a DVD player to put the DVDs in. So why are we ripping DVDs and not Blu-rays?
Size?
Because...
No, because I can compress them.
Not everything plays a Blu-ray.
But if I rip it to a file, then
it would
play.
Then it would be
fine. Right.
Right. So.
It's a valid question, and this is another one that you've been sending in. The best answer I can give you for that is, let's just think about the technology for just one moment. Now, Blu-ray, you would say, it's better quality. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You can get 1080p Blu-ray, 4K Blu-ray. These are only 480p. Granted, they still look great, but DVD is much less quality than Blu-ray. That's why Blu-ray is the, you know, the current optical standard anyways. Think about your computer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Do you have a DVD drive?
On my computer?
Yeah. You do?
Yep.
Do you have a Blu-ray drive?
No.
No. Mm-hmm. So think about it. When you buy a computer, even when you build a computer, your computer has DVD capabilities.
Right.
But we may not necessarily use it to its full capacity. A lot of us use it, you know, sometimes to burn discs and things like that. Mm-hmm. But most computers, I don't want to be so general, but a majority of computers will not have Blu-ray drives. So you cannot rip Blu-ray on a DVD drive. You can rip DVD, and every computer since years ago has DVD if it has an optical drive.
Right.
Right? There was CD, then DVD, and every computer has it. Blu-ray was never adopted as a computer standard. You can spend extra money, you can buy extra devices to give yourself Blu-ray, but I imagine that if you've done that, you already know what you're doing and you already know how to rip, because why would you spend the extra hundreds of dollars on an upgrade for your computer that when you don't even know what it does?
Right.
It's not so the drive that is built into your computer and in my laptop today is DVD. That's all it will read. And CD, it's downward compatible, but it will not do Blu-ray. So that's the answer to that. And the other point about that is that we're doing this for free.
Right.
Yes.
Because
which is huge.
I already have the hardware, DVD drive in my laptop. I already have I'm going to have the software in about 5 minutes. I'm going to show you how to get it. It's absolutely free. If I wanted to rip Blu-ray, I have to invest in new hardware. I have to buy commercial software.
True story.
I have to go through all those hoops. So we're not going there. It's all about the DVD. All right. So the product that we're going to be using is called Handbrake. And I do have the capability of bringing this up on my screen, so I'm just going to do that for you. Let's go. Handbrake.fr. Now, this software is available for Windows, Mac, and Linux, and it's absolutely free. I'm going to do the demonstration on Windows 10 tonight. So I've just clicked on the download button, and it asked me, do I want to keep it? And yes, I want to keep that file. So now it's downloading this 12 megabyte file. It's going to be here in 10 seconds. Here we go.
12 megabytes. So huge.
Super tiny. So this is a program that's going to allow us to copy these DVDs to a file.
Right.
So understand, we're not making a copy from a DVD to another DVD. No.
Right.
We're taking the data off of the DVD, we're going to remove the copy protection, and we're going to then encode it to a file format, MP4, which is going to allow us to watch it on our set-top box, on our Plex Media Server, all of those things.
Okay, so you said remove the copy protection.
Yes.
Now, do we eventually put copy protection back on?
Mm-mm.
Okay, so should most systems that have DRM protection... I think that DRM, DCM?
Yeah, DRM.
DRM. Mm-hmm. Would they still recognize it without the copy protection?
Okay, so understand, Jeff, we're not going to change the DVD.
Correct.
Okay?
Yeah.
DVDs are a read-only medium.
Right.
DVD RW, that's different. That means rewrite.
Right.
Okay? But when you buy a commercial DVD video set, it is read-only.
Right.
They've silk-screened it and pressed it. So we're not making any changes that are going to affect that disc. It's going to still work exactly the same. It's going to have the same copy protection. What we're doing is when we copy it to the hard drive of my computer, we're going to remove the protection which will obfuscate the video.
Okay.
Because if I just put a DVD in my drive and copied all the files to my computer and tried to play the VOB files, they'd be green lines.
Yes.
And it would be all messed up because mm-hmm. there's copy protection that prevents me from making that copy.
Right. Okay?
And rightly so, I go back to the fact that I own these discs. I'm not showing you how to bootleg or how to make illegal copies.
Yes, don't do that.
What we're doing here is just making this for ourselves. So with that file now downloaded, I hope that answers your question.
It does.
Okay. So there's Handbrake now ready to install. So I'm going to click on that, and we're going to install that. Next, I agree, and next. Perfect. Now you think you're done, but you're not. I mentioned about copy protection.
Yes.
Okay?
Right.
Handbrake is free software. And they need to be careful that they are not distributing software that can be used for illegal purposes.
Okay.
Right? So right now, in its current state, I can rip my family movies. I can rip my wedding DVD that was created for me.
Right.
But I cannot rip commercial DVDs with copy protection.
Right.
I have to go one step further in order to rip and decode the copy protection, remove that. And that's using a tool from VLC, which we all know and love.
Yeah.
VLC, the video player, it's able to play everything, and we can use some of their technology in order to bypass and get around the copy protection.
Okay? Oh, neat.
So it's a little hard to find. When I go to VLC dot, is it org? Nope. VLC, let's just, no, now it's in my memory. VLC dot, no, videoland.org. That's how they always get me. Okay. Videoland.org. In projects, you see libdvdcss, and it gives you all these. Now, libdvdcss is specifically a library designed for accessing DVDs like a block device without having to bother about the decryption. It's a fancy way to say this gets around the encoding that protects the DVD. You can go into releases. And you can go into 1.2.12, and then you see Win64. See all the hoops that you got to go through?
Why that version? Did they discontinue it after
that? They stopped compiling it for Windows.
Oh, okay.
So that particular version, 1.2.12. Anyways, you're on Windows. Let's make it simple. I've created a hot link for you. All you have to do is go cat5.tv/libdvdcss. Forget about the .dll because it's just a hot link. When I click on that, enter, it's going to redirect to the file and it's going to allow me to download it and keep.
What was it again? cat5.tv/lib...
DVD CSS. Libdvd CSS. And you see that below as well.
Cool.
So now I've downloaded that file. Just save it to your downloads folder. I cannot reiterate enough. You do not save this to its final destination. Your Windows system won't allow you to do that, and it will end up saving it in the wrong spot, and then your decoding will not work.
Okay.
Okay? I need to now take that DLL file, which has been downloaded to my downloads folder, and I've downloaded it twice, so it's got a one after it. I want the original DLL file. So I just want to copy that file, libdvdcss-2.dll is what it's calling it right now. And I'm going to go, now again, I'm on Windows. This will work on Mac and Linux. It's just that the file locations are different. Find where Handbrake installed to, and you'll be able to do this. On Windows, it's usually going to be in your C drive in program files, and then a folder now called Handbrake, because remember, I installed a program called Handbrake. So here it is, but it's missing the DLL to decode that. So I'm going to right click and hit paste, and here's the warning. You're going to need administrator permission to do this. Continue. So now in that folder, along with my handbrake.exe, is also libdvdcss-2.dll. That is a necessary step. If you're getting garbled video on your rips, you've done that incorrectly.
Okay.
Okay. Download it to your downloads folder, then copy it or cut it and paste it into the same folder as handbrake.exe. Do not open the program before that point, okay? Notice the steps that we've taken. Now I can close this, and I'm going to bring up Handbrake on my screen. And I've already inserted the first disk of the set,
okay?
Do that first. Put your disk in. If you bring up Handbrake first and then put the disk in, you're probably not going to see your disk.
Okay.
Put it in first, okay? Now I'm going to bring up Handbrake. Here it comes. And you see now it has detected the DVD. So hit OK, or just click on that DVD. And now it's scanning the titles of this disk. Now, on the box set here, there's a couple of things. So on the back of the disk, on the case,
right.
Disk 1.
Okay. And then there's the pilot. And
series pilot. And
Whom the Gods Would Destroy.
Two episodes. One disk. Two episodes.
Yeah.
So on that disk now, I can see, if I look under title, I see three files. Well, what on earth, right? Observe. 1 hour, 37 minutes and 4 seconds. 1 hour, 38 minutes and 38 seconds. 1 minute, 39 seconds.
That's the episode.
Ah, so the first two files, the first two titles that it sees on the DVD, those are the episodes, and then this is probably the menu.
Right.
It's like a 1 minute loop. So I'm going to first click on the first one, and up here, see this here? This is extremely important. I need to observe how they created this DVD, the encoding that they used. Mm-hmm. So this is 720 by 480, but it is actually anamorphic, so it's 853 by 480 mm-hmm. is the actual resolution of the disc. And this is key, the frame rate, 23.98 frames per second. Keep that in the back of your mind. So I want to, you notice that it defaulted to fast 1080p 30?
Yep.
Don't want that.
Okay.
Because a DVD is only 480p. Why would I rip it in 1080p, which will upscale, it will create a 1080p file, but the source is only 480p, so right, I'm basically just stretching it out.
Yeah. Right.
It would just make a bigger file.
Yeah.
Uselessly.
Yeah.
So what I want to do is I want to, as closely as possible, match my encoders to the DVD itself. That's right. Why the frame rate is very, very important. So the first thing I'm going to do with the DVD is I'm going to change my preset to general, fast 480p 30, because that's the closest thing to match a DVD, 480p 30 seconds, 30 frames per second. So next thing I want to do is turn on web optimized. What that will do, Jeff, is that will help so that your Plex Media Server, if you pause it, it can resume easier.
Okay.
If you skim, you can skim easier because right. It's in your web okay. browser when you're using Plex. So that helps. Web optimized is important. Dimensions, I just want to bring you back to this. We don't need to change anything. It's already detected. 720 by 480. Anamorphic is set to automatic, and you see that the display size is coming out to 853 by 480, which matches 853 by 480, the actual disk that I've inserted.
Okay.
Next up, I just want to show you filters. We have deinterlacing. This is all just left default. But what that does, because our computers, our devices are progressive scan, so each frame is a full frame.
Mm-hmm.
Interlaced, the DVD is actually interlaced, so it's only half of the frame per frame.
Okay.
So deinterlacing is going to fix the lines that you see in
right.
some videos. If you didn't have deinterlacing, you'd have lines through everything, especially during action shots. So just leave those filters as they are, because the defaults are perfect. We do not need to, I don't even know how to say it, detail assign. Because this is if we were upscaling to 30 frames per second, but we want to actually match the 23.98. So just forget about filters. I just wanted to show you that. Okay, leave everything the same as it is, except we want to set a constant frame rate, because we know that it is 23.98 frames per second. The default is 30 frames per second. I actually want to match the DVD. So keep in mind, I am not telling you to set this to 23.98 frames per second, or which is really 23.976. That's the correct option for this particular disk. But every time you insert a disk, you need to observe those top stats so that you know what that disk is. The next disk that I put on in, even if it's from the same set, might be 30 frames per second.
That was my question, for sure. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, and it does happen. And in fact, with this particular DVD set, once you get to the second set of discs, it goes up to 30 frames per second. That could be because they were shooting in 24 frames per second, and then they switched to 30p
right.
for NTSC, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Just observe that. So I'm not saying to do this at 23.976 generically. I'm saying observe what the disc is and match that. So I'm creating a copy of this that is so close to the original that you're probably not going to notice the difference. So everything else, so remember, constant frame rate, 23.976 matches 23.98, which is a rounded number. You may have 30 frames per second or 29.97 on different discs, but this disc is that.
For For a limited time, get your hands on limited edition shirts from the Category 5 TV Network. These high-quality shirts are manufactured by Teespring, a fundraising website, and your purchase will help support the shows we produce. Get yours today and send us your pictures to be featured on the corresponding show. Visit cat5.tv/shirts to support us and get your official network shirt today. cat5.tv/shirts.
Now, if you, I mean, chances are you're not going to find that your disc is different than those numbers. But if you do find it's different, are you better to downscale to the closest lower or closest higher?
DVDs generally are going to be 24 frames a second.
Right.
30 frames a second, 29.97 frames a second. You're not going to have 4 frame a second DVDs or...
That's
6,000. Yeah, there are standards, right? And so okay. these represent the standards and then some. Like here's 60 frames a second, 120 frames a second, 59.94.
Right,
depends
so
on the region.
Nailed it all.
Yeah, and it will show you here what the frames per second is. That's what we want to match up. Audio, I'm just going to leave as is. Oh, and back here, constant quality, I'm going to leave at 20. If you increase that, the number's going to go down. And you're just going to get a bigger file size, but I think 20 is a pretty happy place. You're going to get really good quality without going over the top as far as file size goes. Audio, I'm just going to leave as is, but if there are other audio tracks, you can select them if you want to choose a different language, for example. I'm just using the English, and that's all that there is on this DVD. If it has Italian and you would prefer the Italian track, you can actually change that, and that's what will be ripped. You can include both. If there are multiple tracks, you can also include those, and then you can change it using VLC or your player.
That's a cool option.
Yeah, absolutely. Everything else is just going to stay as is. Those are the key things. So now, save as. I'm just going to browse somewhere on my computer, go onto my desktop. The naming is important, especially if you're using Plex Media Server or some other kind of media server. You got to start with the season number and the episode number. So S01E01 is the beginning of this file, because otherwise it's not going to show up on your Plex Media Server. So I'm going to call this S01E01, and then I do a hyphen, and then I'm going to call this Series Pilot, because that's actually what they call it, .mp4. Don't forget to specify that. Save. Now, I'm not actually doing anything yet. What I want to do is I want to add that to my queue. Now, if I look at the queue, I can see it's there. It's ready to go. But this is episodic, remember? So now if I was just doing a movie, I'm done.
Right.
I can just rip it and I'm done. But because this is episodic and there are two episodes on this disc, next step is to now pull down the title and change to the next one. Episode 2. And I'm going to leave everything as is. It's already using the same settings that I already set. But now I don't need to browse. I'm just going to delete the automated file name here and call it S01E02. And the episode number of the episode name of number 2 for this show is called Whom the Gods Would Destroy. And so back at Handbrake, I'm just going to put that in there. Or I could type it, .mp4. Now, add to my queue.
So the specifications would never change episode to episode on the same disk. It would just be disk to disk it might change.
The disk itself is a certain frame rate, resolution, but the next disk might be a different frame rate.
Right.
Yeah. I haven't seen it mixed. It could technically, I think it could be mixed,
okay.
But I've never seen it.
I just feel like perhaps you'd get lulled into it. Say there was like 7 episodes on a disc. You'd get lulled into repeating and repeating. Then you put in a new disc and, well, everything's changed.
Yes. Yeah, oh, so and you got to watch
like,
that.
Be aware.
And you see how quick it is to change it anyways and modify those settings.
Exactly.
Now, if I look at my queue, I have both of those episodes in my queue. All I need to do is hit start queue and pour yourself a coffee, go sit down. It's on my i7 laptop. This is going to take about an hour per episode. So,
okay, so close to real time. Because they were an hour and a half.
I don't know that it's really that specific. It's just that's how long it takes. Because what it's doing is it's decoding, removing the copy protection, copying the file itself, and then encoding to the MP4 format that matches the specifications that I've given it.
Right.
So then I end up with an MP4 file. Because this is going to take 2 hours, just before the show, I actually set it up and did exactly this. And so I already have these two episodes ripped, and that's why the disk was already in my drive. I'm just going to close out of this. And if I bring up my folder here where I ripped it, you can see now I've got these two files. And if I click on it on my computer, there it is. It's a perfect rip. It looks fantastic. It looks perfect. And up on my big screen TV, it looks wonderful.
Cool.
And there you go. So that is decoded, and it works. And yeah, nice. We're good to go.
I like this. I have a drawer full of DVDs in our entertainment unit that I could spend days ripping. And we would love to watch these things, but we don't have a DVD player anymore.
Yeah.
Right. So they just kind of sit there, and we keep talking about, oh, should we have just sold them off? But now it's like, no, there's no purpose.
You can rip them and put them on your Plex Media server.
Yeah.
And it's absolutely, like, because the video is great. The video looks, on my 55-inch TV, the 480p looks fabulous. Mm-hmm. And because I've set the settings as I have, the quality is stellar. Like, there's no artifacting, there's no perceptible loss. It looks great. It looks absolutely perfect. So I think that covers everything that we need to cover for this feature. I hope that you've enjoyed it and learned from it, and I hope that it helps you to be able to move your DVD library into your current setup, because I just don't have the setup to play these anymore, but I still buy them. I still support the industries that make them, and I'm happy to do that. And by doing that, I'm paying for it. I bought these off of Amazon.
Right.
I'm not downloading illegal copies of videos. Right. I'm not breaking the law. I'm not stealing from the content creators.
Right.
But I still have the same effect of being able to put it on my devices and being able to put it on my Plex Media server or whatever other device that I own that gives me access to that content in a modern kind of way.
Nice.
Very cool. There's a question from Solbu in the chat room. What if one just wants to rip without changing the encoding? So DVD encoding is MPEG-2.
Right. Now, but keep in mind, it has copy protection.
Yes.
So you will not be able to play those files if you don't go through the process. So part of this is decoding, then re-encoding to a format that your devices will be able to play.
Right.
That's the key thing.
Got it.
So I hope that answers for you. I hope that all of your questions have been answered. If you have any more, please comment below.